Good morning. I guess now that I'm 60, I get to call everybody hon. And resting is no problem. However, I should have chosen a larger font. I don't know what I was thinking on that one. Okay. Interesting that last song, Reveal Your Love to Me, the Aloha spirit and everything that David was talking about. And the title of this morning's word is Understanding God's Love. So I think it kind of ties in. Our most complex problems can be solved with the simplest of answers. Our most complex problems can usually be solved with the simplest of answers. I was at my house the other day, a little illustration of this, and the electricity went out in my garage. Luckily, it didn't affect the air conditioning. But in the garage and on the back porch, I wasn't getting any electricity. So while I was trying to make up my mind about, do I call an electrician, or do I hit up the guy down the street, because he's an electrical van in his driveway, maybe I could go ask him. And I'm thinking, well, what do I have to do? I have to get the whole garage rewired? Do I have to, you know, all the things that go through your mind when something like that happens. So my son comes over, and he says, "Well, wait a minute, Dad. I think I have an idea. Did you check the fuses?" I say, yeah, I checked the fuses. The main box, everything was working fine. Well, let me check something else. So he goes into our master bathroom, and he hits the reset button. And lo and behold, everything came on. And I guess when you get a little bit of a surge, that little button pops out and shuts off the electricity for whatever reason. But all it took was a little push of a button to solve all my worries about, do I call an electrician? Do I get the house rewired? Oh my goodness, what's going on? And so our most complex problems oftentimes has a very simple solution. You just got to press that one little button, that one little reset. If you turn to the book of Revelations, chapter 2, and I think it's verse 1 through 4, I guess. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, say this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to test those who call themselves apostles and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. This was written to a church that was doing good. If they looked around, they could probably say, yeah, we have body ministry, we have this, it's all working right. But he says to them, you've left your first love. We need to return to the time of our first love. Returning to the time we first met Christ would solve many, if not all, the difficulties we face. The time you used to carry your Bible with you wherever you went. The time when you would sleep with your Bible next to you. The time your love for Jesus Christ our Lord was fresh and exciting. We need to return to that first love, to resetting that button. to where all of his love for us is renewed within our hearts. Didn't David, the psalmist, say, renew within me the joy of thy salvation? Well, just the term renew means that he had lost that. It had to be something that was brought back again. Ephesians 3, if you'll turn that. And we'll start with verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. David talked about a parenting spirit, the parenting side of God. From every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glories, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in what? In love. Being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. How can you know something that surpasses knowledge? That's kind of a strange... You know, there's another scripture that says, be whatever we can imagine, God's kingdom is beyond that. It hasn't even entered into the heart of man, right? So think about what you could enter into your heart of a place of joy, a place of righteousness, and it goes beyond that. But he says we are, or that we can know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Do we really know the love of God? Not the John 3:16 love. I'm not being blasphemous there. Not the John 3:16 love. Not the general broad stroke of God's love. Because we all know God loves us. People on the street will say God loves you. People receiving awards on TV will say God loves you. And, you know, thank you God for... you know, you score a touchdown, oh, God loves me. But when they fumble, do they say, God loves me? You know, no, not there. But not the general broad sense that we all have, you know. We know our parents, you know, Jonathan and Anna know Danny and Melissa and their Uncle Sean love them. And their Poppy love them. But they really know it when... Like last night, when you're holding them in your hands or in your arms, and they go, oh yeah, the love of my parent. Oh, I know, because they hold me. They show that love. They show that affection. So I'm not talking about the broad sense, but I'm talking about the individual intimate love relationship. Do we know his love that surpasses knowledge? Here are just a few examples of God's personal, intimate love for us. The first one has been very real to me for quite a long time, but recently, since February, has become even more real to me. And that's love is greater than death. Do we understand that? You know, and when we read the scriptures, God gives us little clues, little hints to how much he loves us. Not just the broad, God loves the 99, right? But who does he go after? The one. He has this broad love for the 99, but when he looks out and sees one of his sheep missing, that's where he stops. And he goes and looks for that one sheep. That's the love of God, the intimate relationship he wants us to have and to know. Another one, God's love means he is concerned with our welfare. In Genesis 2:18, he said, "It is not good for man to be alone." He just created the heavens and the earth. He just created the animals and all the great beasts and fish. And he says, still not right. Man still needs something. He was that concerned with Adam that he creates Eve. God's love means he sees and takes notice of our pain and suffering. Psalm 56:8 says, "You have taken account of my wanderings." Anyone feel like they've ever wandered? "You've taken account of my wanderings. You've put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book?" Tears in your bottle. How close is that? How close does God have to get to us to collect those tears in his bottle? Go ahead and cry. I'm right here. I'm collecting them. Metaphor or not, I'm believing he really, I'm going to see a jug of tears when I get up there. But that's how close he is to us. That's how much he loves us. That he's taken notice of every tear. And he's holding that in his bottle. He's written them in his book. Scripture talks a lot about our names being written in a book. The disciples come back and say how great, you know, Satan fell. We cast out demons. We healed the sick. And what does Jesus say to them? "Yeah, I saw Satan fall like lightning. That's neat. That's good. But rejoice more that your name's written in the book of life." Having your name written in a book is a great thing. There's nothing kind of more pleasing than to go to a restaurant and they say, "Reservation? Oh, yeah." And you say, and they, "Oh, yeah, here's your name." "Oh, yeah, that's me." When I was feeling sad, and I know that Jerry, if you allow me a little personal here, when she arrived, the Lord looked on in his book. "Yep, your name's here. We have your reservation. Come on in." How much does he love us to keep our names written in a book? God's love means he has revealed himself to us, and no one can take us from him. John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." That means they are one in their feelings for us. They're one in their love for us. I've always read this scripture, and I've always thought of it as when parents hold their child's hand when they cross the street or when they're just walking down the sidewalk. You know how a kid will stand there and put up both his hands? One parent on each side. He says, Jesus says, "You're in my hand. No one can snatch it from me. And you're in my Father's hand. No one can snatch you from me." And the little kid is just walking down the street. there's a puddle or a crack, and what do? They wee, you know. The parents lift them up, and, you know, or they jump off the curb. What a great feeling, jumping off that curb when you're little, you know. Your parents are lifting you, and you think you're jumping really high, you know. And it's really just your parents. But we're in God's hand. How personal, how intimate is that? I love walking on the beach and holding Jerry's hand. There's just something about it. How close and intimate God wants to reveal himself to us. One of my other favorites, if not the favorite, about God's love, it means he has a secret, intimate name for us. Did you know that? Did you know God has a secret, intimate name for you? Now, I had secret names and little intimate names for Jerry, and she had names for me, some which can't be uttered, but no. Couples in love or people in love, they have little names for each other, you know? And some we reveal, and others you just keep between yourselves. He has a secret, intimate name for us, Revelation 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows, but he who receives it. It's a name that's just between you and him. It's a new name between you and him alone. That you may know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. If we could stand, please. I'm going to read this last scripture as a benediction to our service this morning. And this is out of Romans 8:28. And I encourage you to read it on your own. And then as you read your Bible, you read your scriptures, look for those little hints and clues of how much God loves you. Don't overlook the little things that God gives you. Don't overlook those little details that reveal his love for you. As you pray, ask him. It's a promise. It's what he wants. He doesn't want you searching your house trying to figure out how to get the electricity back on. How do I get this spark back that I had when I was with you, when I first met you, Lord? I remember when I first came to Christ, and I did. I carried my Bible everywhere I went. I did sleep with it in my bed. It was the first thing I thought of in the morning, the last thing I thought of when I went to sleep. How do I get that? Do I go here? Do I go? No, you just press that reset button. Just press that reset button. Return to your first love. As a benediction, I'll read this. And we know, this is Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Freely give us all things. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation? No. Distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, not any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.